Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text tonight is one of the most charming passages of the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 3, where God calls, and the text says, calls the boy Samuel. I love just that one line. I'm an adult, I'm an older fellow, and we just tend to somehow as adults think that God talks to adults. God speaks in complicated thoughts to adults, right? Somehow adults think that. We have a Jesus who said what? What about kids? Let the little children come to me. I always imagine that scene in the Gospels. Remember that there's kids thronging around Jesus. What are kids like? They're noisy and they're pushing each other and they're distracted. And what do the adults say? Send them away, right? Send them away. Let's do adult things, Jesus. I love that the Lord says, let the little children come to me. It's great. And so here we are in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Eli is a priest. He's a servant of God. He's been serving the Lord his whole life. He's an old man. We don't know how old, but it seems pretty old. He's actually let his flame die down a little bit. And Eli is that, and Samuel, the young boy, is been called by God. So does God speak to us today? Does God still call people today? I think we know the right answer is yes, but it's complicated, isn't it? To hear God's voice and then to understand that voice is very complicated. I want to talk about that tonight. And we're going to get into some things where God talks to the human heart. But before we get there, I want to say very, very clearly, please know this. The number one way is this book right here, God's Word. Read this Bible. You've heard your pastor emphasize over and over. Read the Bible every day. Meditate on that Word. What is he saying? This is the Word of God. That's foremost always. But I want us to know that God does actually speak to you now, to your heart, about his will, and sometimes calls you to do something. Calls you to do something. How about that? Now, I want us to notice a funny thing in the text. This is a wonderful text about God and Samuel. The first thing I want to talk about is that sometimes God's call is just to a deeper knowledge of himself. Because this is what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And some pastors make too much out of that. What they say is that Samuel's not saved yet. I think that's wrong. I think that's a misreading of the text. But it's a jarring verse, isn't it, that God calls. But it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I want us to know Samuel grew up in a believing household. Am I right? How was Samuel even born? Do you remember Hannah? Unfortunately, in those days, sometimes a man had more than one wife, and the other wife kept having kids upon kids, and Hannah was praying, Lord, can I have a kid? Before Samuel was even conceived, his mother was reaching out in faith to say, Lord, grant me a child. When he was born, we can be sure that she had him circumcised. We can be sure that every day of his life, Samuel was being raised by a believing mother and a father who conveyed to him the faith. Does Samuel know the Lord in salvation? I believe he does. When it says here, he did not yet know the Lord, it means he doesn't yet know him as fully as he would. Right? And you've noticed that. Sometimes you go from one level in your spiritual life to another level, and you grow, and you develop, and you mature. And sometimes we do look back and say, I didn't know that much then. I wish we wouldn't be too self-critical about that, but let's know this. The first call of God is the call to salvation, but the second call of God is to know him at a deeper level. Samuel was raised by a believing mother, prayed for by that believing mother, circumcised by his family, grew up in the Word of God. Hannah was such a strong believer, she actually said, God, if you give me a son, I'll turn him over to you. That was tough, right, to have a child, and then she had him till he was weaned, and then she took him up to the tabernacle and left him there. That was a tough thing to do. I think he knew the Lord his whole life, but it's saying that he's going to know him in a fuller way, in a fuller way. First thing is that God calls us sometimes to a deeper knowledge of Him. Be listening to that call. Be listening to God's word. Be listening, by the way, to the believers around you. That might be the call of God to say something that you hadn't thought of before and to point it out for you. But I want us to notice something else about this text, and I love this about 1 Samuel 3. God sometimes issues the call at the time of a national low point. I want to say that in 2021, right? God sometimes issues the call at the time of a national low point. 1 Samuel 3:1. What's it say? The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. What's the next sentence? In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. That's a tough sentence, right? In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. And that's not a period, it's a semicolon. Next phrase, there were not many visions. And I want us to catch the full force of that. That is in both directions, right? When it says there were not many visions, who grants visions? God does. That means God in His own sovereign will had said He wasn't granting a lot of visions to the people of Israel. But when it says the word of the Lord was rare, who's that on? That's on the people of God. Because what do we have already? We have the word of God. They had the word of God, not the New Testament, but they had the word of God. What were they doing with it?
Ignoring it.
Sitting on a bookshelf somewhere. That's true throughout Israel's history, right? Read the Old Testament. You think, well, Israel was called by God. The prophets are in Israel. The prophets are preaching to the people of Israel. They have the word of God. They must know the word of God. How often is it the case of Israel that ebbs and flows? There's times they follow the Lord. There's times they don't. The book of Judges goes back and forth over and over again, right? They follow the Lord. They don't. They do. They don't. You know, at the time of Josiah's reforms, he's one of Israel's great kings. He leads people back into a moment of national turning back to God. That sounds nice, doesn't it? But at a time of the nation turning back to God, it's almost like a rediscovery of the word, remember? They've neglected the word for so long, they dig it out of a room and say, what's this? Right? When the Bible says that there weren't many visions and the word of the Lord was rare, that's a tough time. But here's the thing that happens when you're a believer, if you live in those times, and I think we do, what happens to believers living in those times? What do we feel like? We feel discouraged. We can get discouraged. Here's a weird thing. What happens if you are living at a time when the majority of people are walking away from the Lord? What do we tend to think is going to happen? We think that it'll last like that forever. If we're going down, what are we going to do? Always going to. Did you know that one of the possibilities is God might be about to issue a call to someone to say, I want you to do great and wonderful things? And who might it be? The most powerful man, the richest man, the most persuasive speaker? How about a boy? Wouldn't that be something else? We don't know. If somebody who's a youth right now that we tend to think, oh, the youth don't know that much. Okay, and I'm an old man who's like, the kids these days. What if one of those kids is God's person to serve and turn this nation around? I don't have a word from the Lord to tell you that that person is right now getting ready to do that. But one of the possibilities of the word of the Lord was rare, and God points his finger at Samuel and says, Samuel, guess what? We're going to turn this thing around. That's a nice thing, right? Here's another thing for us to notice in this text. It is harder to hear God if we are not spiritually tuned in. Is that right? It's harder to hear God if we're not spiritually tuned in. Nowadays, we have digital radios, but remember in the old days when you had to like turn it a little at a time, and how do you get rid of the fuzz? You have to adjust it just a little bit more. Now it's digital. Actually, you're not even listening to the radio anymore. You're listening to satellite. Or you're listening to your iTunes account, right? But if you remember way back, there were radios. It's hard to listen to God if we're spiritually not tuned in. Eli is a priest. Eli serves at the altar. Eli has been preaching or teaching for decades. Does he get it? Not right away. This is a tough thing to be a pastor and notice that sometimes it's actually church professionals who are less tuned in, not more. By the way, we do ourselves a disservice. Now, whenever we say call, we're thinking of pastors. I think we've done ourselves a disservice over that. God can call anybody and does. He does. He calls to specific things. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. We need to listen. And here's a weird thing. The pastor is thinking about board meetings. The pastor is thinking about, is the bulletin been proofread, right? And you say to your pastor, Pastor, I think God is calling me. What do you think? And he's thinking, what's my next appointment, right? It's tough. Be careful about that. Sometimes the Lord is calling you, and you might ask your pastor, and your pastor might be slow. I will say this, though, so I don't want to over-criticize the pastors here, because this is what happens with Eli. He's slow, but he eventually gets it. Isn't that right? Samuel says, Eli, you called me. No, I didn't. Eli, you called me. No, I didn't. How many times does that happen? Three times. But let's not be too hard on Eli, because he gets it, right? What does he say eventually? Third time, he says, it's the Lord. And if he calls you again, and Eli's answer is perfect to him, he says, if the Lord calls you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I don't have to guess what to tell you now, because if you ever say to me, I wonder if the Lord is calling me, you know what I'm going to tell you? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening, right? This is not the first time Eli was slow, by the way. Remember I mentioned that Hannah was praying for a child? Don't you love that passage in 1 Samuel chapter 1? Hannah's praying for a child. She comes to the altar. She's praying there. The text literally says she's praying in her heart and not making any sounds, but her mouth is moving. Do you remember that text? 1 Samuel chapter 1. What does Eli say to her? He walks up to her and he says, how long are you going to keep getting drunk? Be rid of your wine. That's a nice, spiritually insightful guy, right? And she says, oh, Lord, it's not like that at all. And our slow-witted pastor at least again gets it. When she tells him that her heart is praying to the Lord for a child, then he says, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked. So we have to be spiritually tuned in. But here's what's hard about that. What does the voice of God sound like? You've probably heard this in other sermons. I want to say it again. I always love 1 Kings 19. You know that passage. Elijah has had the victory at Mount Carmel. Remember that? And you think, well, Mount Carmel, that's powerful. And what happens after that victory? The queen Jezebel says, I want to kill him. And so he has to flee. You go from victory to defeat. He's out there in the desert and he's saying, God, nobody follows you but me, and they're trying to kill me. And there's this beautiful passage in 1 Kings chapter 19. God says to him, go out and stand in the mountain. Stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, because the Lord is about to pass by. And you know that passage now. You know where I am? What goes by? A powerful whirlwind. What's the next verse? The Lord wasn't in the whirlwind. What's next? A mighty earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And what next?
Fire.
And the text literally says, and the Lord wasn't in the fire, but after the fire, what? A still small voice in the old translations. The NIV says, after the fire came a gentle whisper. Why is it hard to hear the voice of God? It's so quiet, isn't it? It's so quiet. I always love the NFL coach, Tony Dungy. Some of you know him. Won a Super Bowl. Christian man. Football's a rough game, isn't it? Full of rough men. And every year, on the first day of training camp, he comes into the room, and all the noise and the pushing and the shoving, and Tony Dungy would say, I will never yell at you. I will never raise my voice above this level. You know why he wanted them to do that? What does he want them to do? And he would say to them, you have to listen. Everybody that ever played for him totally respected Tony Dungy. And they said that was true. They never heard a profanity. They never heard him yell. They never heard him raise his voice. Can you imagine if the voice is quiet, we have to what? We have to listen. How easy is it to listen? I'll say this very, and I get it, it's difficult. Even as a pastor, And with a godly wife, we'll say, it is so hard to discern the will of God sometimes. This is, I'm going to just throw out two words. Here they are. Are you ready? Prayer and quiet. How do you discern the will of God? Prayer and quiet. So how quiet is your life, right? How quiet is the modern world? You know what I do when I walk into the room? I pick up the remote and I turn on the TV. And I say, it's hard to hear the word of God. Yeah, with the news on, it's impossible. Prayer and quiet. I always love to add this. I say that when a Christian meditates, people sometimes ask me, does a Christian meditate? I always want to say, yeah, a Christian meditates with a Bible open on their lap. Read this word. Here's the first rule of thumb. Whenever God is, when you're looking for what God's will is, God's will not contradict his word. So prayer and quiet, listen. And the difficulty is understanding it. Eli's response is exactly right. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then this is the question that comes up to us again. I think we pray and we meditate. There's things in our head, there's things in our hearts. And then we start to wonder, because this is a reality, is it possible to confuse the voice of God with my own feelings and desires? It is, right? And so we can say, Lord, speak. And then sometimes, but I know what I want, so I'm wondering if God is telling me to do the thing I already wanted to do. Do you know that feeling? You should, right? Know that feeling. So prayer and quiet, how about patience? How about watch? I think events start to unfold. A lot of times it's about saying, Lord, here I am, let me serve you, and then listening, talk to other believers, listen to their words of advice. But I think that a lot of times it goes like this. We have to start at yes, Lord, and then he shows the way. Isn't that the way? Start at yes, Lord. I always love Romans 12, 1-3. I'm going to read these three verses. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, hear the first thing, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we start at the end, right? God, show me your will. And what's he saying? Give yourself over as a living sacrifice and stop conforming to the world. And then you'll know my will. It's a tough thing. Does God speak? Yeah, when I started the sermon, everybody was nodding yes really quickly. Now I've mentioned the difficulties, were sort of looking at me like, well, I don't know, does he? Does God speak? Yeah. We have to listen. Hebrews 1, the book of Hebrews, begins with these words. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. I love this phrase. And many times and in various ways. How does God speak? Many times, various ways. I love this. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. We're New Testament people, right? Samuel, that's Old Testament. We love that passage. We want to learn from it. We want to think about the word of God, the will of God, about listening to the will of God, about saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. But also to get this, Christ has come. Doesn't that fill in some things? Is God gracious? Yes, in Christ, yes, right? Does God forgive us our sins? Yes. Is God love? Yeah, in Christ. Don't we know that so wonderfully and richly? That in Christ, we know that the central thing of God is that he's love. So is God's will good and gracious? In Christ, yes. Yes, it is. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.